Well, welcome everyone to the Emmaus Gathering at the Ross Community United Methodist Church. What do you guys think of this little building? It's kind of gets a job done, doesn't it? We like it here. Yeah, they are. Now they're listening. It's all good. All right, we got a little bit of everything here for you. And actually, our first song we have here set up is Victory in Jesus. It's a hymn like you guys are used to singing. Where's Donna? Donna specifically requested this. The last time we were playing, she said, next time you guys play, hey, will you do Victory in Jesus? Absolutely. But you notice we're going to put a little bit extra with it, right? All right, so we're going to have a little fun with the banjo and just some good old songs. So sing along with us. I heard an old, old story about Savior King from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory and his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me in his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all love is due him. He clothes me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. All right, you guys figured it out? I heard about his healing and his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then died in Jesus and near my broken spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. And all my love is due. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. All right, last verse. Are you ready for this? I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. In Jesus, my Savior forever, he sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He loves me with me beneath the cleansing blood.
We gotta sing that chorus one more time, because it's good, isn't it? God bless. Here we go.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. All right, now, how many of you have not heard that song in a long time? Heard or sung that song in a long time? All right, it's a hymn. It's good enough. It's good enough, right? All right. So along the same lines, while I'm still wearing the banjo, we'll do one more fun one here, all right? Here we go. I know you guys know this one. It's a medley.
I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. Dear Lord, oh dear Lord, oh do remember me. Dear Lord, oh dear Lord, oh do remember me. Oh dear Lord, oh dear Lord, oh do remember me. Look away. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hiding under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hiding under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Some glad morning when this life is over,
sing, 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 we're gonna shout, 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 we're gonna sing, we're gonna shout, praise the Lord. When those gates swing open wide, we're gonna sit by Jesus' side, we're gonna sing, we're gonna shout, praise the Lord. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, is our Savior, we shall not be moved. In His loving favor, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, we shall not be moved. We shall not be, we shall not be moved. We shall not be, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Woo!
I tell you what, one of the things we love about playing with the Amaze community is when you guys are singing louder than we are, which you guys do, which is beautiful. I don't get that on Sundays. That's good. That's good. Here for you. Sing along with us.
Light of the world, step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of the life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high,
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And I'll never know how bloodshed cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Oh,
God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Pretty. Pretty. Pretty, pretty. So you notice we're doing a lot of old songs today, and that's by design. See, I got to tell you about how blessed I was here. So we planned the Maze Gathering here, and I thought, cool, I'm getting my praise band. We're going to do some really awesome and amazing songs. We got some really cool stuff we're going to do. And he goes on vacation, but suddenly shows up for tonight.
We're leaving tomorrow morning instead.
Brandon's gone, but bless God, Dave comes in. I've never been up here with Dave before. God bless you, Dave, for being here, brother.
I've never been up here with you before.
I know. It kind of works both ways with
it. None of us have played together.
Anyway, sorry. Let's see what you guys can do with this one. Let's have some real fun with this one. Go for it, Karen. See if you guys remember this one.
Put your hand in the hand of a man to steal the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book I want to tremble. When I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple. For the buyers and the sellers were no different fellas than what I profess to be. And it causes me shame to know I'm not the person I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who sealed the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reach age of 7.
I gotta work on the time now.
And when I'm down on my knees is when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life for 8 kids and wife. And do what you must do. And he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
More time.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Nice. Okay, who was alive when that song first came out? Should be most of you. Come on now. All right, come on. We got one more song here for you, then we're going to get into some other, get into all the other goodness that's happening here.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Good evening. That's loud. I'm Laura Furman. I'm the community lay director for Northern Lights Emmaus. I was on Women's Walk number 37, Table of Elizabeth. I love gatherings like this. There are so many people here, and that just makes me excited. And we had wonderful worship. I'd like to thank the band for providing that wonderful worship. Well, in God. It was wonderful worship. And, you know, I love when you have great worship because you can really feel the Holy Spirit move. And I don't know, that took me back a ways, like a ways.
That was by design.
So that was just wonderful. Community updates. I wanted to let you guys know that there is a boys' summer chrysalis flight. That is a combined flight between Northern Lights and Cincinnati. And that is happening on July 28th. Is that right? Okay, in 2 weeks. And they still need caterpillars. So if you guys know any young men who you think would benefit from, you know, getting connected and getting involved and growing a little deeper with Christ, I'm going to encourage you guys to talk to them. There's still time, but let's get an application in. Let's make sure that the caterpillars that they do have can go on this flight.
Hey, Laura, let me jump in a second. So this is joint with Greater Cincinnati. And Greater Cincinnati is kind of taking the call on this as far as when they cancel, and they like to cancel it early,
about
12 days ahead of time. So actually, if we don't have enough by Monday, I think that, you know, that's when they're going to make their decision. So if you've got anybody, don't delay.
Yeah, let's get it to them this weekend. And if you need help doing that, you know, contact somebody on the board, hit us up on Facebook. We'll tell you how to get applications in. And there are applications on the website. There's always applications on the website. That's the boys' chrysalis flight that's coming up. We are having our next gathering August 11th at 6 p.m. at Camp Chautauqua. And we are super excited about this. It's going to be a very fun... This is going to be our picnic, right? Like, who doesn't like a picnic? So it's going to be outside. Hopefully we'll have good weather. We will have shelter. The campground is awesome. They have a gigantic fire pit. And they have all these activities that we're allowed to do while we're there. So there's like mini golf and all kinds of other like craziness that you can do. And that would be a great time if you have a pilgrim that you are thinking about sponsoring for either the men's or women's walk, that would be a great time to bring them to a gathering. And you can bring people to gatherings that are not in the community. That's a great way to introduce them to the community. So bring them out to the camp. Let them see how cool it is. Let them see what wonderful people they'll be around. And get them excited so that they'll want to turn in that application and go on that walk. So that is our next gathering. We do have men's and women's walks coming up. We had a little change in lay directors. Cammie had to step down to do some work commitments, and Sue Bug stepped up and graciously filled in. Teams are coming together. Men's team is looking great. Women's team, we still need some more people on. We still need some more people in the men's team, too. So if you're interested in serving, we still have spots to fill in. You can see Jim, you can see Sue, you can see me, you can see anybody that's on the board. Just let us know. If you're interested in serving, please let us know. We're getting there, but we still have some spots we want to fill in. And team meetings are going to start very, very, very soon. So let's get that completed. We also have our first pilgrim application. You guys are supposed to be excited about that. Come on. So we have our first pilgrim application. And, you know, this is a good bit in advance. So I'm excited about this. But we want those to keep rolling in. And I would love to have the walks full long before. I would love to start a waiting list. Let's start a waiting list so we can start working on the next walk. So I would love to have those walks full soon. So let's start working on praying about people, talking to people, asking people, doing that big ask. And let's start getting pilgrims. I love sponsorship. I think sponsorship is probably one of the coolest things that we get to do in Emmaus, because there is nothing like sending somebody on a walk and then seeing them 3 days later and seeing how it changed their life. There is nothing, you guys remember what your walks were like. There is nothing like that. So let's start working on our sponsorship. Speaking of teams, we have our lay directors here tonight. So Jim and Sue, if you'd like to come up. And what I would like to do is any of their assistant lay directors that may be here or any community members that want to come up, what I want to do right now is I want to pray over them. They have a big task at hand, and we know that God has got this, and we know that these are his walks, but I think this is an amazing time to just pray over our LDs and get them prepared for this walk. So let's go ahead and do that.
Father God, we come before you asking your blessings upon these servants. Lord, we pray that even now you are preparing hearts to come on these walks, to be shown your light and love and grace. Lord, we pray that you will breathe the Holy Spirit into their daily lives. We pray that you will put a hedge of protection around them and their families and their teams as they prepare for these holy weekends. Lord, we know that you have selected each of these individuals, and we know that you are going to guide their thoughts, their words. You are going to put to rest any fears or worries. And we just ask your blessings upon these two walks and these amazing servants who have chosen to follow you into this ministry. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you for the hearts that will be changed. Thank you for the people who will come close to you for serving, for participating, for praying. These are your walks, Lord. Let you do with them as you wish, and guide our hearts and our minds so that we may support each of them throughout the days, weeks, and months ahead. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
So I just want to say, you know, as we've been praying over these walks and we've been praying over our team, I have seen God do some amazing things in the last couple of months, and I know that he has some amazing things moving forward. I am seeing a team come together that on both sides, we have a lot of people who haven't served in a long time. We have a whole lot of new and excited pilgrims from just our last walks. And, you know, this is the time when we get to grow our community. And there is nothing more exciting than being able to welcome new people into this and just see how their fourth days unfold. So on that note, I'm going to let Sue give her fourth day talk.
Thank you. Sue Bug, Northern Lights Women's Walk number 5, Table of Hannah. Good evening. The Lord is really powerfully working in some different ways lately. I just said yes for the opportunity to be lay director of the next walk about a week ago, and I was just asked to give the fourth day talk late last night. Those who know me best know that I am a planner. I like organization and time to properly prepare for things in an organized manner. Perhaps he knows that I can do it with less time, is stretching me a bit out of my comfort zone, and is surely proving it to me in so many ways. I was asked to talk about what Emmaus has meant to me and how has God been working in my life since my walk. I took my walk in the fall of 1997 at Camp Swanecki. My sponsor was a man I was dating at the time, who is now my husband, TJ Bug. In those days, there was always a waiting list to get on the walk, so my chances weren't so good that I would get on walk number 5. This is a bit of a funny story. My husband knew that they always left 5 open slots for wives of men who had taken their walk. Well, we weren't married. However, at a gathering, TJ asked Tavy Gunnison, the registrar, if my chances to get on that walk would improve if we were married. She got a kick out of that. But I did get on that walk, not because I was married, but some of those slots went unfilled. Just a little bit about myself. I was raised Catholic from birth. I went to Catholic schools all my life, St. Anne's, St. James grade schools, Macaulay High School, and on to Xavier University. So for me, God has always been present in my life. My mom went to Mass every day, and we all went to church as a family every Sunday. Christianity was not new to me. The greatest impact that the walk provided to me was the awareness that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was possible. My Catholic family and school life provided me with a wonderful foundation and base. However, I was yearning for something more, a deeper walk with the Lord. What I can now identify was Christ stirring in my heart, wooing me to seek him more, and ultimately to share his glory with others. The biggest surprise on my walk was the agape gift of roses at Saturday night dinner. You see, TJ couldn't just give one pilgrim roses, so he gave everyone a red rose. Some of the women on that walk had never received a rose from anyone, yet another gift of agape love. Emmaus enabled me to take chances involving myself in my church at the time. I have the gift of caring. I am a nurse, and it's a natural gift for me. I signed up to be trained in Stephen's ministry. What a wonderful gift to receive and share that gift with others. Being a Stephen's minister allowed me to be the ears of God. Actively listening to someone is one of the greatest gifts you can give them. It was wonderful to see how God was working through others' lives, and I got to be a part of that. Emmaus has also introduced me to many Christian friends who are also on this journey in life, people accepting me for who I am, a child of God. On to the next question, how has God been working in my life? Well, when I went on my walk, I had gone through a divorce earlier that year and was raising 2 small boys. I still remember mulching my yard that spring and praying to God, asking him to bring a Christian man into my life. My image of this man and God's image of this man were totally different. I always heard that God will give you more than you ask for. And instead of giving me a Catholic conservative man, he blessed me with, as Eric Gutog, calls him, Christian dynamite. Never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought that someone like TJ existed. God blessed me with so much more than I deserve. God knew that my small box image of the man I asked for would probably not have exposed me to the personal relationship with Christ that God wanted. Who knows? I'm just happy the Lord loves me. So TJ and I were married in 1999, not surprisingly, and in addition to family and friends, a large contingent of Emmaus brothers and sisters were there to celebrate with us. We blended two families. I had two boys and he had one. We went through a year of Christian counseling to get the tools and wisdom we needed to make this transition as smooth as possible. Was it easy? Definitely not. Issues of discipline, favoritism, jealousy, sibling rivalry all reared their ugly heads. I don't know how long it took, years of experience and learning as we went. I never tried to act like I was Tommy's mom, and TJ never acted or took the place of Cullen and Corey's dad. Today, we are a close-knit family. Tommy and I share a special relationship. I'm a loving, caring, be-there-for-you-anytime kind of friend to him. And my boys look to TJ for advice, guidance, and as a friend indeed. And the relationship that the three of those brothers share is wonderful. I can't imagine life without the support of other Christians. We have had our full share of issues raising these young men. When teenage issues arose, I was angry at times and really felt like they were robbing me of my joy. Working on another Emmaus walk through that time period brought me back on the path. Now when we go through a valley, I don't lose my joy. God is the source of my joy. In the dark places, the valleys, is where I have found to be the closest to Christ. I see him in the many ways of grace he provides to us through others. Looking to Christ through these times is when hope intervenes. Would I want to go through some of the worst predicaments that I have been through again? Absolutely not. But I would do it all over again if my sons ended up having their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what's happened. It appears that often joy follows a tragedy. God never lets us go, but you have to look for him working, and he will be there. It is strange to say, but the challenges have really strengthened our marriage. We are always there for one another, no matter what the circumstances. God continues to bless us even in the depths of the valleys. So here I stand, God's servant in continual transition as he stretches me in my own self-imposed limits of comfort, molding me to be the woman he desires me to be, and continually reminding me to count on him. Always and completely, his path is the one to follow. So I said yes to the privilege of giving this fourth day talk, and yes to the honor of being the lay director for Women's Walk number 42. Now I challenge all of you to come and join on this journey. We are still in need of team members for this walk across most areas of the team. So prayerfully consider being on the team if you are called. Also, we need pilgrims to be sponsored. Carefully pray for God to lead you to invite them to this walk, to give them the true gift of being a part of this walk to Emmaus and deepening their own personal relationship with Christ. Remember, Christ is counting on you. De Caloris.
I am so overwhelmed with what wonderful people we have that are serving on these walks this year. And, you know, as a community, I can't think of anything that makes me more excited and more hopeful than just seeing our teams coming together and seeing our community continuing to grow. So on that note, I'm going to have Larry come up and give devotion, and we'll do communion.
thought about what could I say to a group of Christians. Well, then I'm getting there. So anyway, I thought nothing better than to a group of Emmaus walkers. My name is Larry Gallagher. I attended the men's walk to Emmaus number 33, Table with Timothy. And so I thought about who better to maybe talk about than David. David was a Christian, but David, he made a couple mistakes. You know, everyone in here may have made a couple of mistakes. But I saw these verses, and I want to share these with you. It's out of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. First six verses, and then 11 through 14. But it said, after this, David defeated and subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath and its surrounding towns. David also conquered the land of Moab and the Moabites, who were spared, became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. David also destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, when Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River. Listen to this. David captured 1,000 chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He crippled all the chariot horses except enough for 100 chariots. When Arameans from Damascus arrived to help King Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. Then he placed his army garrisons in Damascus, the Aramean capital, and the Arameans became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. So the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. And then verse 11, King David dedicated all these gifts to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had taken from the other nations, from Edom, from Moab, from Ammon, from Philistia, and from Amalek. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt, and he placed army garrisons in Eden, and all of the Edomites became David's subjects. In fact, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. Two times in that passage, he talks about making David victorious. In battle, David never was wounded, never lost his life, was never injured, was never hurt at all, never faced defeat. Of all the battles that David went into, he never faced defeat. David never made any public policy mistakes. Some of his predecessors and many of those before him had. If you remember Solomon, when he came into power, overtaxed people. Rehoboam, when he came in, he failed to take the advice of one of his father's advisors and decided to take advice of youth and some of his young friends, and that proved to be a mistake. David was preserved from making mistakes, yet he made them because he got out of being preserved from what God had provided for him. And so God was kind to David. He watched over him. He took care of him. He let him rise to the throne. But David never took any glory for himself. He gave all the glory to God. Of all the battles that he won, he never took any credit for winning any battles. He honored God. He enlarged the Hebrew territory in ways that were probably unimaginable. And I thought, as I was preparing this, I thought too often our root meaning is defined by our success. What have I done? And the follow-up is that it should be gauged by our hearts. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And yet he made a mistake. Made several mistakes. And the thing that it says to me is really four things, is that, and I'm just going to mention four words, but God was his preserver. He preserved him through everything that he did. He was his provider, his father, his redeemer. And so we're going to share communion. And the communion table, we believe, I believe, and I think that many of us would believe that there's more than just a celebration of communion when we stop and think about what it really meant. And we read these words last week, and I want to share them with you from Matthew this week. Actually, I'm not going to share them. I'm going to share them with you. But what's so interesting to me is when Jesus and the disciples said, where are we going to do this big feast you're talking about, Lord? They're probably sitting there, and I can see Peter say, Jesus, where are we going to do this at? And I can see Matthew questioning, you know, him and wondering and talking among themselves. And Jesus said, go into the city. And there you will find a place. In fact, he said, you'll find a man. And he said to him, say to the man, where my father is going to have the feast. This is where we're going to celebrate this time together. And so I've often thought about when we talk about communion and then we look at some of the historical factors about it. The last meal was really kind of a celebration of four meals and four times of eating. But at the conclusion of it, when they had sat there and they had talked amongst themselves, and you know, and James is probably sitting there talking to Luke and, you know, or someone, and they're sitting there just wondering, you know, what's going to happen and why is this taking place? And Jesus picked up a loaf of bread, and it's so interesting to me that this is after the meal, that there was still food left. Well, there's still food left out there. But he, you know, he took it and he broke it, and he said, this is my body. He said, it's broken for you. And it reminds me of what Isaiah said. It's by my stripes you're healed. And so communion to us as Christians has two meanings. It has a physical meaning, but it also has a greater spiritual meaning. Because when he picked up the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you, shed for the remission of our sins. We pray for people to be healed. Some are, some aren't. We talked last week about miracles. This is the greatest miracle, salvation. So we're going to share communion. And 11 words that came to my mind was, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. At this time, we do something at church here is we always say a prayer of confession. But I want us tonight just to bow our heads, search ourselves, and just ask ourselves, God, is there anything in my heart that separates me from having this time of communion with you? Father, we give you thanks for that time that you sat around that table with 12 of your followers. And we think about what must have been on your heart to think about losing one. It must have broken your heart. But Lord, we're thankful that we can look at our hearts. And if there's something amiss, you forgive. So we give you thanks for that. Father, this bread, this cup, are symbols of your body and your blood. As we partake, we pray, Father, that this time blesses us as we stand before you with these elements and bless them, both to nourish us physically and spiritually. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Going to ask those that are going to help serve if you would come forward. Just ask you just to come down the center aisle. We will have servers for you if you just want to break off some bread and dip it in the cup. We encourage you to do that. Just feel free to come.
Paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus filled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Ooh, the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that Golgotha cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise and honor unto thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee.
Amen. Circle up for Let Your Light Shine. Click, clicking. It didn't click.
They never actually make a circle.
Yeah, that's a pseudo circle. All right, do me a favor. Tom, get to the last slide for me. For even though they all know the words, I got to show them something on here that's very important. I'm a stickler about this, guys. This is important. There you go, right there. Okay, now take a look, guys. Notice that this song, most of us learned this thinking we're going to do land. Just kind of stretching out the word land. Look up there. I got it in bold for you. There's a word and in there. So now I'm expecting you guys to sing this. I'm going to hear you go land and sing with us.
Your light shine before the soul, they may know a God of love's in the land.
Here it is.
And let your light shine before the soul, they may know the kingdom of God is at hand. Let your light shine before the soul.
Have an awesome and amazing weekend, evening, and that. We're going to sing one as you're walking out here. Got another old goodie.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Take care of you through days of toil when heart doth fail. God will take care of you when danger steers your path assail. God will take care of you. God will take care. Take care of you.
take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lead weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.